The following program was pre-recorded. On WFAN, it's time for Hello, My Name is Craig, our weekly candid conversation about gambling addiction. It's supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER. Now, here's Craig Carton.
Good morning. Welcome to another edition of Hello, My Name is Craig, as we start year five of this program right here on WFAN. Happy New Year to everybody, and great to have you with us for the next 30 minutes, an open, honest conversation about gambling addiction. And I'm very happy to have joining us today from New Jersey, Stacy. Stacy is not a compulsive gambler, but unfortunately her father is one. Stacy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, Craig. How are you?
I'm doing swell. Thank you so much for asking. You know, typically on this show, we talk to the gambler themselves so we can hear, you know, the stories and the depths of the addiction. But far too often, we forget about the family members, the loved ones that are in harm's way more than anybody else when it comes to the behaviors of addicts like myself and, you know, like your dad. So I appreciate you sharing your story today.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. And that's the whole reason why I wrote the book.
And what is the name of the book you wrote?
Shep and the King of Hearts.
Got it. All right. So your dad gambled from the time you were a kid. Like, what's your earliest memory of knowing that your dad liked to gamble?
Yes. And, you know, by the way, he is deceased.
Sorry.
And it was years ago. Yes, he, as far as I can remember, growing up, he was gambling. His game was poker, and he held a master's degree in education and ran a school, but he began playing cards on his lunch hour and then got into compulsive poker playing.
Got it. So I assume early on, like most of us, his card play was responsible, recreational, something he and, you know, the guys did, and then it built from there. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. And, of course, my mom always said, you know, you're not going to bet on that game, are you? And he said, oh, no, that's too rich for my blood. But, you know, that's exactly what happened. So he began getting deeper and deeper into gambling on and poker games.
Do you remember at any point looking fondly towards that? Like, you know, the guys came over a Friday night in the basement. You know, it was very social and a good time. Or do you not have recollections of that?
Well, no, he did not do it at home. He always went out, and then he became more distant from the home, obviously, to play the game. But, you know, it's funny because one time Dan and I were talking, and I've listened to your podcast about people and when they're exposed to gambling. Right. And I thought, well, you know, I wasn't really, that wasn't part of our life. But then I thought, wait a minute, it was. He taught us all how to play poker. Right. And we played poker at home with chips. But it wasn't a thing we did all the time. But he did teach us how to play. So
that, do you remember as a kid ever saying, hey, Mom, where's Dad at? Or, hey, Dad, how come you're always leaving the house? Anything like that?
Well, it did come into the home because he was, you know, running up gambling debts and it was causing big problems with my mom. So eventually they divorced. Yes, there were problems. He was gone. But I had this, you know, Craig, I had this desire to still have that, you know, relationship with my father, even though it was absent. So my parents divorced. We moved out of state. And back in those years, that was fine. You could take children out of state. And so it became a 40-year estrangement from him as he lived his gambling life out west.
So let me stop you there. Were there moments when your parents went through the divorce? How old were you?
I was 10.
Were there conversations that you look back on now at some level of clarity where your mom said gambling caused this, or, you know, your dad's a bad guy or he's doing bad things or anything like that at that time, or no?
Well, and it's funny, in my book, the character Chris, who, you know, she's an adult now, and she runs a hospital in New Jersey, and all of a sudden, you know, I fictionalized this book because it's a fiction's more fun. I could do a lot of things with the characters, and but, you know, her father comes into town after this 25-year estrangement, and she's got to deal with him. He's this compulsive gambler, and she goes back in time to recount some of the conversations she heard her parents as they were arguing as she was in the, you know, her bedroom next door. So those are some real life things that did happen. You know, it was causing a lot of problems in our home financially, not only financially, but just relationship wise. As you know, compulsive gambling can do that.
Yeah.
So Chris, In the character in the book, she's recounting a lot of those things. And, you know, I know a lot of people deal with these heart issues when it comes to compulsive gambling.
Prior to your dad going down this bad path and getting divorced and being estranged from your family, what was the relationship like with him for you?
It was good. I all these years later, I still desired that relationship, and that's what's so sad about any kind of addiction, is that the child really does want to still have a good relationship with that parent. He was not a bad person. He got himself into bad situations, but it's also, you know, as we've talked about, and I listened to your show, and it's more of a mental thing too, and a behavioral thing based upon some heart issues for himself.
Right.
So, you know, you really have to dig a little deeper than just the compulsive gambling.
Until you grew up, matured, you know, became a well-read woman and started understanding the dynamics more of addiction, as a teenage girl who's now dealing with the reality of moving to a new place and, you know, your dad's no longer in the picture, how much resentment did you have for him?
Well, there was resentment, absolutely. I mean, I recall I wrote a little scene that never ended up in the book, but one time my mother and sister and I were living in our home, and in the middle of the night, I heard, you know, tap, 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 and then a screech. We all ran to the front door, and our house had been egged, you know, back in the day, and that was when eggs were a little a little cheaper. But I remember, and it was just, you know, boys in my class that were wanting to do a prank. But I looked at my mother and I was like, I felt so sorry for her because we did not have our dad at home. And I knew there was resentment at that moment of like, you know, if you were here, they wouldn't have done this. It sounds like a silly thing, you know, but it was just, it went right to my heart. So I can see, yes, there was resentment and I wanted that relationship, but I had no idea, you know, estrangement's a terrible thing too.
Sure.
When you do not even have any contact, you have no idea what that person's doing and why they wouldn't want a relationship with their own child. But the addiction is causing such a canyon of depth that they can't even cross over to be with you. So it was tough.
Were there moments when, again, when you were a young woman, even a teenage young lady, where you became vividly aware that your dad was a gambling addict, a compulsive gambler? Was that openly discussed in the family or no?
It was openly discussed, and however, it wasn't like on his family side, that wasn't such a great, you know, thing to be discussing. No, right. They didn't want to discuss it, I wouldn't say. But within our own small nucleus of family, we did discuss it. And at the time, there were not some of these agencies out there to help. That's what he needed. He needed to go get help, and that's what didn't happen. But for us, in our own little family, we knew what the problem was, and it was it wasn't a talked about thing. Now, even now that I've written this book, I have childhood friends that said, "Wow, I knew your parents were divorced, but I didn't know what caused it." And you know, I wanted to come out with this because I want people to know that it can cause estrangement, it can cause heartache, and we've got a lot of this going on in our world today. And I just felt the need to get out there and sure. talk about it.
Well, let me take a break right there. We'll continue on in a moment with Hello, My Name is Craig.
Back to more of Hello, My Name is Craig on The Fan with your host, Craig Carton, and supported by the Council on Compulsive Gambling of New Jersey, 800-GAMBLER.
Welcome back to Hello, My Name is Craig. Happy to have Stacy with us. Stacy's the daughter of a compulsive gambler. Her dad has passed away, but she's written a book about her experiences and has taken some liberties in fictionalizing some of the stories, but at the heart of it, it's a story about a young woman who lost her dad to compulsive gambling. I wonder, Stacy, at what point when you became an adult were you able to start processing the fact that your dad had an addiction, and for all the heartache he caused you and pain that he caused you, it wasn't that he meant to or wanted to. He just couldn't conquer this addiction.
Well, yes. You know, we had this estrangement going on, but then one time I came home from New Jersey and or back to my childhood home, and my mother called me and she said, "Well, you've got a big surprise coming because your father is coming to town."
And how long had it been without you seeing him?
40 years.
Wow. And out of the blue decided, "I want to stop by and say hi?"
Well, his mother was beginning to age, and well, she was old at that time. And so I think he wanted to touch base with her. Mm-hmm. And so he came into town, and we met up with him. And it was, and this is some of what drives the scene in my book where he arrives in town, because I describe him in the book as like a Santa Claus cowboy. That's kind of how he looked to me. When he got off that bus, he took a Greyhound bus, and he got off that bus, and his skin was weathered. He was gray. He was walking a little bit with a limp, and I was like, "Wow, this is not, you know." But yet, it was him, you know. And so the conversations were strained, definitely. But he still was in the depths of his gambling addiction.
How do you know? So, you know, he told you that, or you could figure it out?
You could just see, you know, you could just see the way he talked about his lifestyle and everything like that. And so then 2 years later, he died, and he had a car wreck, and then he ended up dying. But we went out to take care of his remains. And it was out west, and so we met with the funeral director, and he said, "I am so glad you came, because if not, we would have had to bury him in a pauper's grave with all the other gamblers."
Wow, that's deep.
It is.
Yeah.
And these things make an impression, and when you go then and look at what was in his wallet, just for instance, the different gambling cards, you know, I mean, it's not like today where you're on your phones gambling.
I apologize for the question. Do you think gambling ultimately killed him?
Oh, you know, I think it wasn't that he was doing it at that moment, but it caused so much. I see the loneliness that was in his heart, it was sadness, because he had a family picture of ours, And, you know, he never got to know that, you know, I had children, and there was just so much time. And I think, Craig, maybe one thing is he may have stayed away on purpose.
Because he didn't want to ruin your life or have his daughter see him the way he was. Like, he was embarrassed or had shame, and figured the best thing he could do as your dad was to let you go so that you could have the best possible life. That's certainly on the table, yeah?
Yeah, I think that was definitely on the table. So it's complicated, you know. I mean, his father had left the home early, and he never got to really achieve the things that I think he wanted to. So, you know, we have to cut people breaks. I mean, as heartache as it is, you have to look, and time helps you do that. And, you know, I'm a faith-driven woman, and I like to know that there are greater reasons that we can't all see, but we want to put it together, and you want to try to make sense of it and bring some good about for other people that might be suffering in this way.
How long did it take you to go from what I imagine has to be a very passionate, emotional, maybe not hatred, but dislike for your father, you know, quote-unquote abandoning the family, if you did feel that way, to then forgiving him? And I assume you have forgiven him?
Yes, I have forgiven him. And, you know, this is part of this story that I've written. This character has to get to the point, has to go through the heartache and trying to understand and trying to reach out with that relationship and then get to a certain point of forgiveness, you know, because it took me a lifetime. I mean, I'm in my 60s now. Mm-hmm. So it did take me a lifetime, but I will say that it was interesting about, you know, 10 years ago was in 2016. I met Dan Trillero at a talk he was giving, and it was a snowy night in December, and I write the preface in my book about this, and Dan's story just struck me like, it hit me hard, but I went home, and I just couldn't believe how sad it was.
Was writing the book cathartic for you?
Oh, I think so. Although I have to say, I feel like I was already at a good place when I started to write the book. You know, if you're at a really big place of pain with some sort of addiction of a family member or something, it's really hard while you're standing in the middle of that pain. But when you walk away, you know, years go by and you can look back at it, it's a little bit easier. And so I feel like I was there. I just needed to, I'm a journalism major, but I had not been doing a lot of fiction writing. So
let me
I surrounded
ask you this. And unfortunately, you know, time is short. And I apologize for interrupting you there. Is there a specific moment or multiple moments that you don't mind sharing that when you look back on those days as a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, et cetera, when you went through the divorce and, you know, your dad went west, is there a specific gambling moment that you remembered?
Of his?
Yeah. A bad loss, a guy knocking on the door looking for money, something that resonated with you and stayed with you, or no?
Well, there was a moment that I'm told about because I was younger that, you know, he called, there were calls to the house of people trying to get their gambling, you know, that he owed them money. And that was a breaking point for my mother. She was like, I'm not doing this and I'm not putting my kids through this. So that was a breaking point, I would say.
And when you did get to see him as an adult woman, you know, 40 years after he left the family and left the house, would you say that you reconciled with him or not?
Actually, I would say no, because there was so much pain there at that point in time And, you know, Craig, I wish I'd looked him in the eye and said, look, I forgive you. You need help.
Yeah.
Let's do this. But he, so much time had passed. That is not what happened. And maybe that's part of the reason why I wrote the book, too, is to say, hey, you know, it happened. But I'd like other people to know out there today, don't get yourself in this trap. Reach out to agencies to get help. And loved ones, work together to try to stay together. This is important, and we don't want it to break everything down so that you're left with a 40-year estrangement.
Yeah, it's a sad but very important cautionary tale that you tell. I wish you the best of luck with the book. I can't thank you enough for coming on. I know we could do much more on it. I'm just running out of time, and I look forward to hopefully giving you a big hug one day. And I think it's great that you're sharing, even through fiction, or at least partially fiction, I think it's great that you're sharing your dad's story, your family's story, because there are a lot of people out there, I say all the time, that when you're in the midst of the addiction, as I was, you don't take stock of all the people that are so important to you that you hurt and crush along the way. And I think we need to hear more stories from those victims of addiction as well. And Sandy, I can't thank you enough. Have a blessed year, and keep telling your story because people need to hear it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Craig. I enjoyed being a part of it today.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Wow, Sandy was great. We do need to listen to loved ones of gamblers more and more, and I think we'll start hearing more of those stories. At least, knock on wood, we will. Good to be back. It's 2025, and it's year five now of Hello. My name is Craig, right here on WFAN. Joe Beningo's next. Have a great weekend, and thank you for listening to Hello. My name is Craig.